Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Does anybody remember over 3 years ago I asked y'all, do you really want to grow? Was there anybody in this room? I remember saying it, I think. And just about everybody's hand went up that was here. We want to grow, right? And I told you there'll be times when growth's good and fun, and sometimes it's hard because you'll have to learn to do new things and accept new things and do that. Well, I hate taking my own medicine because during this week, God put on my heart to preach about how are you giving? How are you giving? I'll give you a moment if you want to pick up your stuff and go. This is really needed in our church. As the pastor here, I want you to understand one thing. We're grateful for everything we have. Every one of our programs, our property, our building, and everything we do is God's blessed us and took care of us. But since I came here 3 years ago, we've moved up in number. We went from under 100, I would say at one point 70, something like that. And then in here, sometimes we're barely able to sit, but 170, 180, up to 200, back to 160, 150, some of those numbers like that. Not that I care about the numbers, I really don't, I just see them. We're a very transparent church. We have a bulletin that shows you all of our numbers, and if you want a financial report, we give you one every month. Tell you everything we spend, everything we do, okay? So with that being said, I see those things. And one thing I noticed over the last 3 years, we've had great growth as far as numbers, activity, people participating, and man, we love that. But our financials have stayed the same. Giving's exactly the same as it was 3 years ago. So I was like, man, had nothing to do with what this is, but God put it on my heart. He says, you need to preach your people. They don't know because you ain't telling them. I'm like, man, God, couldn't you bring somebody else to bring in here and tell? But I hate to tell you this, but you made me a pastor and leader over this church. And guess what? This is my job, to tell you exactly what God says about it and why, okay? So this is kind of like school tonight. And I'm sorry if you're visiting, but guess what? Sometimes it's God's people. We got to go to school. We got to learn something, amen? I'm going to try to make it as interesting as possible, but I'm just going to tell you some straight-up truths, amen? Y'all good? We'll see you after church. Somebody said, man, I was back there shaking hands. Somebody said, well, I can't wait for the message. I was like, oh, God, great. Yeah, I was about to say, go back and listen to this morning one. This is good. Sorry. Did y'all like that this morning? It's pretty cool, wasn't it? Riley really helped me out a lot, and I appreciate him. And, man, God, a lot of feedback on that, and God's really blessed through that. But let's just jump in here. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury. Y'all there? Here, pages turning. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many there were rich, cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which was a farthing. And he called unto his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. I think this is one of the neatest places in the Bible. It's strange. Let me give you a comparison. Jesus gets, this is God, comes over, sets down next to, God don't need anything. God don't really need anything from anybody. But God went and sat by the treasury and watched. You're talking about pressure. Could you imagine if God watched you write out your tithe and your offering check? Just sit there right beside you at the table or wherever you write it out and just watched you. Well, what are you watching for? And I thought about how neat this is. God Himself sat down and He's saying, look, I'm going to watch how you're giving. I want to see, not because I need something from you, I want to see what at the heart of the matter. And man, I started thinking, man, I'm the pastor. I don't know what anybody gives here. I don't care to know. Amen? It would be weird. Could you imagine me taking up offering one Sunday? Not, brother. Sis. That'd be awful. But Jesus had no problem with it. And yet, then he had his apostles there, and he taught them. If you don't know this, the apostles walked with Jesus for 3 years, and he was teaching them how to work in ministry, how to lead, how to guide, how to be. And guess what? Giving was important to God. And he said, let's watch. And he said, watch these people give. There's people that are very rich giving. This same account goes in Luke chapter 12, verse 1. He said, oh, they're giving in their abundance. He said, but one come and gave till it hurt. And if you read right up a couple of verses from where we're at, verse 40, listen what it reads. It says, which devour, it's talking about hypocrites and the religious people of that time. He said, which devour widows' houses, and in pretense, making long prayers. You know what he said? He said, at this time, at the church, at the synagogue, they were taking widows' houses. And guess what? A widow comes in that environment and takes out all she has and casts it in and walks on. And God notices. God notices. God started looking, and I started thinking, man, why does God care if he don't need our money and he doesn't need our stuff? Why does he care? And I wrote it down. It's because God, it's the only place in ministry that God gives you an opportunity to give back anything. He's given you your time on this earth. He's given you your abilities. He's given you your jobs. He's given you salvation if you're saved. Amen? And all he asks for you to do is think about him when you're giving back. Amen? It's the only thing, it's the only tangible thing you can do for God. Let me say this. Time, write this down. Time is money. Ooh. Time is money. When you go to work, when you walk into a work, or if you've got a job, you're a carpenter, a mechanic, or whatever the case may be, when you go up to somebody, they say, hey, can you fix this? You look at it and you say, I can fix it, but it's going to cost you $400 or $500, because I'm going to take into account that I'm going to give you my time to fix that. So you're purchasing, and if you work in a factory or if you work at a job, every day you're saying, hey, I'm worth $10 an hour. I'm worth $15 an hour. I'm going to give you $15. I'm going to give you these hours for $15 every hour I'm here. I don't know what you get paid, but I'm just saying. So when you give somebody your money, man, this might help some of you on your spending too. I might kill two birds with one stone. Amen? Every time you frivolously spend sometimes, think about what you had to do to get that money. God, never mind. That went over like a lead balloon, didn't it? But have you ever thought about it? If you made $10 an hour and you go up, sometimes you say, I want that, and they say, that's $6. You're like, man, that's over half of my day. I think I'm going to start me a savings program. Amen? Oh, never mind. But anyway, what I'm telling you is time is money. Amen? And when God gives you time to work and gives you the strength and the ability, what he says, what will you do with that? Will you give any of it back? And I came up with some thoughts about why in the world would you give. Number one, if you're a member of this church or you belong to this church, look at the building and the programs and the staff. The building itself, it's going to take repair, amen? Even when I came into church, I used to come in all the time. Not this church, but when I'd go into church, and I'd think, man, alive, ever light, the air conditioning, the heating units. Everybody's here, it's comfortable. In the winter, it's heat on the air. In the summer, it's air, amen? That's fact. I used to think, man, that's something else. I've never been uncomfortable in a church. Now, as a preacher, I've been too hot. Amen? Y'all get that later. But I think to myself, man, and then you got across the street, we got a gym full of kids right now. Guess what? The lights are on, the heat's on, and then we got another building, and people are taking classes in that right now. You think about that. Then you think about, okay, during staff time, when we have VBS, we have things like that. We have places that, you know, when we do a big VBS, we have people who work on a janitorial staff. You have a pastor here, unfortunately. Come on, man. I'm trying to make this as fun as possible. But I just want you to think about that. And programs. Our Awana program costs money. When you think, well, man, how much does it cost? I don't know how much it costs, but guess what? Every time I hear that bell ring, I think it's worth it. Amen? I really think it's worth it. When that bell rings and then you see a whole bunch of kids come in here during a program, like our Christmas program this year was done by all Awana kids, and you think, man, those kids are coming in here every weekend, and guess what? People are telling them about Jesus Christ. And not only that, I'm going to just say this. I think about stuff like this all the time. Not only is some adult telling them about Jesus Christ from the time they're about this big until they're taller than us, amen, but guess what? We're also feeding them. Amen? Now, do you know how many kids, I don't know how many kids that we might feed that might not get a meal until they go to school. That might be the first time they ate from Saturday to Sunday, and they come in here and they'll eat like crazy. And I'll guarantee you, it's hard to tell somebody about Jesus if they're hungry. Amen? So guess what? That's what your tithes and offerings go to. So when you come, think about that every once in a while. What am I giving to? You're giving to God's work in the buildings, in the programs, and even the staff that we have here. And it's important. Amen? We take it for granted sometimes, but it's important. Amen? Then I started thinking about we do outreaches and missionaries and general help. We help people a lot of times with needs when they come in from out. Well, somebody needs help with their power bill, their water bill. Somebody got sick. Somebody got laid off. Somebody had a funeral that they couldn't meet some kind of need here or there. We help with that, right? But then I start thinking about missionaries. We support missionaries who are out in the world that we can't go. Places where we can't go and people we won't reach, we can help them. That goes with your tithes and offerings. I started thinking about the outreach is just of this church alone when we start to do stuff that are for this community, where we ask them to come in, right? And guess what? I've got a bigger vision for this church than what we're doing today. I want to do stuff that people go, man, they're doing that from Flat Top Church. They're reaching the world from Flat Top Church. And I don't want it to be, because we didn't have enough money. We didn't have enough money. I want it to be because, hey, we had bigger dreams than we could make the financial, but guess what? It wasn't because the church wasn't willing to give. Amen? I'm being honest. I want to do more outreach. I want to have more missionaries. I want to do more outreach. Man, I've even thought about it in my mind. I wouldn't mind having a little flat-top school. We're going to have a flat-top basement to put 100 people in. You think about stuff like that. Amen? And you say, when you're sitting there thinking, well, Kevin, you're thinking too big. Do you know that most hospitals in the United States of America were started by Christians? Just the one here in Chattanooga that we know the best. Erlanger was a Christian man who built those churches out of Christian funds. Oh, that's pretty cool. Hey, guess what? The church used to be the safety net of America. Amen? We used to be where people went to help. Now we send them to the government. I would like to be able to say, hey, we can take some of that stuff back. Say, you're a big dreamer, man. No, I'm not a big dreamer. I'm just saying Christian people should do what Christian people are supposed to do. Amen? Then I just started thinking biblically. And I got to thinking about David. Y'all do me a favor. Run over with me to 2 Samuel 24:24. 2 Samuel 24:24. I hear pages turning, so I'll let you get there. I'll give you a little background on it. David was going to do some sacrificing to God. That means he was going to take some of his livestock and slaughter it and offer it up to God. And you know what? He was going to take this property from a man, and a man said, you know what? You don't owe me nothing for the property. You're King David, you can have the property, and you can sacrifice to God on that property, you ain't got to pay a thing. And this is David's response to him. And the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at the price. Neither will I offer burnt offering unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David's, you know what he's saying right there? David said this, I am not worshiping God for free. I am not going to come and worship, offer up sacrifice of praise and sacrifice of my offering and worship God and take from God and not pay for it. What an attitude, amen? I like the attitude. Because guess what? I want to give to God. I want God to know I'm thankful for what He's done in my life. Amen? And that's one way I can do it. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. This is probably the most popular tithe and offering verses in the Bible. And I know most preachers have used these, but I just want to share them to you because you know what? It's important to know this kind of stuff. And I'll give you some story after this about how God's helped me in my time. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Sorry, I might have said 4. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Malachi 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Question mark. Because when you say, well, how did a man rob God? How would we rob God? Amen? He said, yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. Okay? Listen, and I don't care, and I was going to bring this point on. I want y'all to get this. I don't care what you consider a tithe. I consider a tithe 10% of what you earn. Before taxes, after taxes. You square that with God. And if you don't want to call it a tithe, well, that's not biblical in the New Testament. All right, listen, I ain't going to argue with you. Call it an offering, square it with God, and give on a regular basis of what God wants you to give. And if He tells you not to give anything, I'm all right with it, and God's all right with it. Amen? Whew! I just want you to hear that, because guess what? If God is giving you a blessing, and He wants you to give to the ministry of which you partake in, and you're not doing that, you're living on cursed money. You're living on cursed money. Amen? Listen, I'm telling you, you say, well, 100% of my money is better than 90%. Let me tell you this, 90% of blessed money is better than 100% of cursed money. And you say, let's read a little bit further. I'll give you where that goes. Verse 10, this is what he says to that. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. That's the ministry that you're a part of. And there may be... There may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up you the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing, that there shall be not room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Do y'all get that? I know this is, you read this, you think this is the time when most people farmed or lived off the land. What God's saying is, if you bless me with what I've blessed you with, I will bless you back in many different ways. Will it be monetary? Sometimes. Will it be in health? Sometimes. Will it be in, hey man, I didn't see that coming. God will bless you with an increase, amen, of certain things, certain times, certain health. Man, I have seen, I am not lying to you. When I done this, when I started tithing, I seen my cars and tires riding down the road. I'm talking, man, I'm like going, golly, my car ain't broke down. I'm talking about brand new cars. We were driving like an old hand-me-down Plymouth from my dad who drove it in minutes. I think it had like 400,000 miles. And that thing's still riding down the road. And there's Hondas and BMWs and Toyotas sitting on the side of the road. And I'm going, man, Lord, why? And I look around that car, had scripture taped every dashboard and window that I had. You know what it was? When you bless God, He blesses you. And you can't take into account all of it. You sit here and go, are you preaching some prosperity message? No, I'm preaching a message about give to God what belongs to God, and God will take care of you. God will take care of you. I don't know if you'll ever be rich and famous and all that, but guess what? Who needs that? Guess what? What you need is to be in right standing with God. Amen? Knowing that you're helping God or God's people and God's causes. Y'all get it? Now, I love that. I love that God put this in the Bible. So I thought about that last part. Is I want to be in a place where I'm with God. Amen? At the end of this thing, I want to be in a place where when I come to the house of God, that, you know what? The lights are on, the programs are running, and we're doing what we can do, right? But praise God, when I give, it gives me an opportunity to give back to God who's given me everything. Amen? It gives me, listen, a me, an opportunity to give something to God that, you know what? That's amazing to me. I didn't have nothing to offer God. For my salvation, I have absolutely nothing. But when He met me in August 28 of 04, listen, I didn't have nothing to give to Him. I didn't want to give to Him. I thought God was offensive to me. But now, man, I'm telling you, when God blesses you, and you, man, if I don't know if you've ever tried this. I hope you have. Giving is better than receiving. Man, it feels good to give. It feels good to bless. It feels good when the ministry you're a part of, or when God says, hey, give that person this, and you're able to do it. Man, you'll walk away. It'll get contagious. So I started thinking. He said, well, I'm not a mathematician. Thank God. But I started thinking about it. The average tithe, when I got here 3 years ago, was about a little over $3,000. And that's amazing. It takes care of everything we need. It does. That's a good amount. I'm not asking nobody in here. If you're a part of this church, you're a part of it because you're saved by grace. You were saved by the gospel, and you chose to be a part of this ministry, and that's awesome. Can't ask for nothing by that. You don't have to do anything else to be a part of this church other than be a believer. Amen? Do we want you to be involved? We want you to get involved in the ministry. We do want you to work here? Absolutely. Do we want you to give? Absolutely. Do you have to? No. That's a choice between you and God. But I want to give you some numbers. We take into average about $3,000. That's on your bulletin, so I'm not telling you something you don't know. All right? A week. So I started looking at it. I'm just shooting this out here. And I know that it's more. We have more than 100 members. So I'm basing it off 100 members. And the income for somebody makes $26,000 a year. Right now, that's below what most people make. So that's $500 a week. Here, I did some math. If everybody, 100 people, made $500 a week, which is $2,600 a year, or $26,000 a year, the tithe on that for a year would be $2,600. That'll be $50 a week. If you times that by 100, that would be $5,000 a week. Amen? That's $260,000 a year. Amen? And that's taking everybody in here, all the members of this church, saying we only got 100 of them. I think we got more than that. And it's saying that we're on the low end of the spectrum, $500 a week at 100 people. And if we just done that right now, we would double what we get in a year. We would double what we're able to do in a year. The ministries, the outreaches, and the availability for that money to be a blessing to this community, this church, and the things that we do, could double in 1 year. Just from you saying a tithe or an offering. You can call it whatever you want to. Square it with God. Amen? And you say, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to give. You know what? I don't care if it's you pray about it, think about it. But you think about that when you come here. As a member of this church, what do you take advantage of? What of the benefits of this church? Amen? I take some of them, amen? I take some of the benefits of the church, lots of them. So you got to think about it, okay? What do you get back? Nursery, Awana, gym, lights, power, amen? Wouldn't it be cool in a couple of years from now that we have our new building paid for, starting to finish something downstairs, classes, office, reaching more people, more vehicles to reach more kids to bring them here. This mountain is growing so fast. This community is growing so fast. I wouldn't be surprised in 5 years we outgrow our new sanctuary. Amen? You think, that's impossible. It's not impossible. We're talking about 150 people. We'd be right there. Amen? I know this. I know tonight, if you showed up tonight and you're not a member here, you're saying, man, this didn't blow my hair back. This didn't excite me. But listen, I'm going to be honest with you. As a church, this will help us more if we can take this as a church, apply it to our church. We will grow more than that, than any message that we, when we come in here and get excited and feel like, man, I feel the Holy Ghost. I love them too. I love those meetings too. But you know what I want to see? I want us to be a healthy, mature church. Giving and blessing this country, blessing this world, blessing this state, blessing this county. I want people to go by here and say, man, these guys are doing so much in such a rural place. And we can do it. We can do it. Easily do it. With the people that we... Not waiting for somebody to show up tomorrow to help us. If we get more members. I'm talking about now. Amen? Let's all stand.